Well, hello, everyone. Oh, thank you. Those of you all watching, someone said hi. Hey, but so glad that you're here. We are in this Jonah series. And so just do a quick recap, because I think it will be important to do the recap to understand chapter 4 of Jonah. Because chapter 1, we kind of see Jonah have apathy towards what God had asked him to do. If you're catching up, you're like, wait, I don't know. Jonah would have been asked by God, go to Nineveh and tell them this news that they are going to be destroyed in 40 days. And Jonah's like, no, and just kind of walks away. And then chapter 2, Jonah recognizes he needs to repent. A huge whale swallows him, kind of just a whole crazy story. Go read it, throws him out of the mouth. And then Jonah's like, okay, I will now go and do what God asks. So that's chapter 3. He does what God asks, is the prophet in this moment, goes to Nineveh, says it all, and Nineveh repents. Now you would think, get to chapter 3, and it's like, man, that's just a beautiful story. I mean, I gave you the very, very, very much cliff notes to that, and you'd feel like it ends. No. Look at chapter 4. Take a look at this. Verse 1. This is where it just starts. Boom, right off the bat here. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. Now, there's some reason to it, but just the irony of that is that Jonah had just walked through, making a mistake himself, and then God shows mercy and compassion, gives him another chance, and then he watches this city receive mercy, and he's like, I don't like it. I don't like what they're getting to experience. And some of this just starts to reveal that God was maybe working on something that Jonah was struggling with. Because the reason he's angry, just to give you some context, is you're like, man, that's weird. Like, you got to experience some mercy. Why not give mercy to the city? Is because Nineveh was a brutal, violent city. It was known around the nations to just cause so much damage, cause so much hurt. So there's probably a good chance Jonah has personal stories of how Nineveh had hurt his maybe family, maybe friends, people he knew had hurt his country. And he's like, they don't deserve this. And so our kind of conversation today will be about anger. And how do we navigate it in a way that actually honors the Lord? Because anger is an interesting emotion, isn't it? It's one of those things that we're all going to experience it. And some of us go, yeah, I handle my anger just fine. And the rest of us are going, no, you don't. No. Some of us just kind of hold it all in, and then eventually it explodes. But just walk through this. There is some studying going on where there actually might be an anger epidemic going on right now. So give you some stats on anger. 48% of Americans are angrier this year than ever in the past. 71% of Americans get angry at least once a day. 31% of Americans get super angry, like seething, boiling, every day. And these are just asking these questions, and this is how Americans are answering them. Now let's dive into the things that probably make us angry. So you might see some pictures up here where you talk about, let's go to politics. Okay, here we go. 90% of Americans can name either a recent news event or something about American politics that make them angry. 90%. Some of you are like, how is it not 100? Like, honestly. Now, look at this. I found fascinating a little bit, kind of as a, maybe not a contradiction, but just showing maybe the discrepancy between this. Just over 50% of Americans could identify a recent news event or something about American politics that made them feel proud to be an American. So 90% are angry. And maybe you go, maybe 100. But there's only half of us that'd be like, there's only that something I read or something I see that actually makes me proud to be an American. You see the problem with that? There's a lot more anger there than pride. And then let's talk about driving. That was my favorite picture to find. I just want you to know. That was fantastic. About 50% of Americans say people in their area are driving more dangerously than before COVID. I don't know why now COVID has been like the marker for things now. Maybe some of it could be, especially in this conversation about anger, that's when we became more angry as a nation. It's really been increasing since then. And here's the number of road rage incidents involving guns have increased greatly since COVID. So not only are we getting angry, but it is escalating to a point that we're like, whoa, that is too far. And then this last one, youth sports. This is like my world a little bit. I've got 4 kids in youth sports right now, okay? But nearly 70% of parents report anger during their child's sporting events, often due to perceived unfairness from officials or coaches, or because the sport is seen as means for the parent to achieve something. As your pastor, I think I need to confess, I'm probably guilty of that one. I'd be in the 70% sometimes, okay? Now, this is the one that got me. 75% of high school referees quit due to the behavior of adults and awfully parents. So you can imagine, if you're in this, there is a referee shortage because no referee wants to deal with the angry parents or the angry coaches. And so that's why I think we got to sit in this a little bit and go, maybe we do. We would never admit it. If I were to say, hey, do you have an anger problem? Most of us go, no. But there's a lot of stats saying something else. But I want to be careful with this, because just because you experience anger, that does not make it wrong or evil. Catch this, anger is a normal emotion. We can't avoid it. And if it helps, God has this emotion. The bigger question becomes what we do with that anger. So, verse 1 of Jonah, you got to recognize, it's not that Jonah has done something wrong. He's just frustrated. He's angry, and rightfully so. Man, these people hurt me. And God, you're showing them mercy. God's not upset by the anger he has. But you'll see later on, his response could be the problem. Because look at this in James 1, 19 through 20. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. But here's the next line that I think, we've heard that scripture if you've been in church, but here's the one. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So you got to understand, there is these two components. There is a righteous, godly anger in how we can approach it, that God goes, I believe you can do this. But there's also this human anger that produces things we don't want, makes things worse. It may even lead us to more sins. And so ultimately, you got to look at this and go, most of us are bent towards human anger because we can't solve that or fix that on us on our own. The only way we can experience God's righteous anger is we have a transformation go on inside of our heart. We have to be humble enough to say, God, I need your help, because this anger is about ready to consume me. And so here's where I want you to realize, anger can either lead you towards God or away from him. So I want to spend the rest of this time showing you how Jonah may have done it the wrong way, but then I also want to show you how God does it. And I want you to evaluate in your own life. And I understand you're like, well, I can't be like God. Well, God believes you can. There's plenty of scriptures that show that. You were made in his image. So he's saying, like, I understand you're going to have this battle. And Jonah's going to give us a good story of maybe not how to do it. That's what the beautiful part of the Bible is sometimes we get stories like, yeah, don't do it this way. And God coaching and teaching him through it. But we're also going to see this other side. And so there's going to be these points where you're going to have to go, okay, God, how am I doing at this? Am I leading well with my anger? So let's go back to the Jonah 4:1 and kind of read the next couple of verses. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? This is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'm trying to get the whiniest voice in this. I feel like I'm not doing the best job, but I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. Isn't it crazy? We go back, I mean, Jonah's referencing all the way back to where this started. He's like, this was my struggle from the beginning. When you asked me, I knew this may be the outcome. Have you ever had that prayer where you're kind of scared, God, if I pray this, I'm so scared you're going to answer it this way. That's what Jonah was dealing with. So that's why I think he's relatable. Sometimes we beat up Jonah and be like, dude, you made so many poor choices. But I think he's actually more like us than we'd like to admit. Because he's honest. And he's willing to say, like, I'm really struggling with your decision here. I'm disappointed. I'm angry. I mean, how many of us have ever been angry at God? I have. That is what Jonah's feeling in this moment. He goes, I know. Because remember, he's a prophet. I know you're merciful. I know you're doing that, do this. But catch what it was doing to him. Anger was leading him to quit. And that's what I want you to be careful of when you're wrestling through this. Is your anger leading you to quit on relationships? Leading you to quit on your relationship with God? You're just like, I'm done. I've seen it too many times. Counseling in this moment, and people come to me and it's like, talking about their marriage, and just, I'm done. I'm so done with that person. I'm so angry at them, I don't even want to try anymore. The church has hurt them, so they're now done with church. God didn't answer the way I wanted him to, so now I'm done with God. We just quit because we're so angry at the outcomes that are happening, or the situations that we're in, or just how things have played out, that we were just like, no, I didn't want this. And God, I know you can fix it. Why are you allowing this to happen? You can hear it. I'm probably saying some of the internal questions that maybe you haven't said out loud, but yet it's just been eating at you and stewing, and it is just at this point to where you're going, you've actually just kind of, I just give up. And I think God is trying to reach into this. And this is where I think he was trying to help Jonah. Jonah, don't quit on having compassion for people. Because thank God, God didn't do that with us, right? We are all horrible sinners. We have all broken and hurt the relationship with God. And you know what God didn't do? He didn't quit on us. So that's why I think God is having this moment with Jonah. Go, Jonah, I get it. I know why you're angry. But don't quit on showing other people compassion. I know it made me hard, but I did it with you. And I want you to learn to do it with people that maybe it's hard for you to love. So wrestle with that. Is your anger leading you to quit on a relationship? Now, I understand in this conversation, there is a little caveat here. Because some of you may be like, so I'm supposed to go back to this person who keeps beating me or being mean to me? Hold on. There's a boundaries in this. But I'm challenging you more of going internally, in your own life, have you quit on believing that there may be good in this world? Have you quit on showing compassion? That has less to do with the other person. That has to do with you now. And that's the part I want you to wrestle with. Because God believes, no, you can still have compassion. You can still have love. You can still do the good things in this world. Don't let somebody else's hurt keep you from doing the good that God has for you to do. Don't lose hope. So remember, wrestling through this, where is your anger leading you? Hopefully it hasn't led you to quit. Now, scriptures keep going, and look at this in verse 4 and 5. The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? It's a good question. And one that I think God may be challenging you, depending on what you walked in here with. Is it right for you to be angry about this? Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. You notice how Jonah didn't respond. He almost just kind of ignores and just sits there and goes, let's just see how this plays out. So I think there's two things
that start to happen here. One, anger can lead us to separation. You see it in the language that Jonah is somewhat using. It's them and they. He has separated these human beings in some ways, like, I am more superior than them. They don't deserve the mercy that I received. They are worse human beings than me. Just catch yourself. If your anger starts to start using language like them and they, they're the outsiders. Be careful with that. Because remember, God created all of us in the image of God. Make sure that you're not treating people differently because you think you are better than them or you're superior to them. And I know none of us would say that or admit this. This is why this sermon's hard, because none of us are like, well, I wouldn't do that. But your actions may say a different story. How you talk about so said people, how you behave around them. You can see what Jonah's doing. Remember, this city is changing, transforming before his eyes. And whereas he's like, well, I hope it doesn't happen. A miracle is literally happening. And he's gone, nah. I don't want to be part of that. Anger can lead you to separate in a way that God's going, ooh, don't separate here. Because what if you're missing out on a miracle that God actually wants you to be a part of? Another part of this is anger can lead us to just being a spectator. When you say, I quit, and you separate, eventually you're just standing on the sidelines. And God never wanted you to stand on the sidelines. He goes, I want you to be in the game. I want you to be in this. I want you to navigate it. I know it's hard, but can I coach you through this? Can I teach you how to forgive? Can I teach you how to navigate this so it doesn't define your life? What's heartbreaking is to see how anger and the hurt of somebody else has caused them to just be crippled in life. Causing you to experience a life that is half of what God designed it to be. Struggling to experience joy, struggling to experience peace, because you have this anger that you can just not let go of, and it is overtaking your life. And that is exactly what's happening to Jonah. And I think it happens to a lot of us. So here's the ultimate, point to this. It's not crazy. It's not that big, like, ooh, wow, Todd. Jonah's mishandling of anger led him away from the Lord. Now, I want to pause here because some of us may be like, okay, that. Just know your pastor's had those moments too. I'll give you one right now. I can't believe I'm sharing this with you because it's not a great moment. And it happened in youth sports where I may have yelled at a referee, okay? Some of you are going to judge me now and you'd be like, that is embarrassing. It is. But I think it's more one of these things. It's important for us to confess. So here's kind of the context. My son Corbin playing, I think this was third grade a couple years ago, and it was a good game. Playing this team from North Dakota, and they're playing each other. Oh, it was battle, back and forth. But what had happened in the game was, at this age, you can't head the ball. It's soccer. They are too young to be doing that. So if it hits somebody's head, let's say a kid kicks it, hits somebody's head, it's kind of at the ref's discretion to give the ball to the right team, and all those kind of things. And so this happens. We kick the ball, hits off their head, the other team's head, and he goes, okay, and he gives it to the other team. And I'm like, that's fine. Okay. But then the opposite happens where they kick it, and it hits off our player's head, and he gives it to the other team. And I'm like, whoa. Time out here. I think it needs to be fair. So I decide, in my wisdom, to tell him what I'm thinking. And so I said, ref, you gave it to him last time. I think it's our ball. I didn't think it was that crazy. But the ref and I lock eyes. And I was like, kind of gave him one of these, like, hey, like, what are you going to do? And I remind you, I'm a parent. I'm not even a coach. He looks at me and says, sir, if you're going to talk to me, I need you to move to the parent section. Now, if you're going, why the parent section? Where are you, Todd? That's a great question. It's a fantastic question. Here's what was going on. I am standing behind the goal because that's where Corbin plays goalie, but I also have two younger children with me. To go sit in the parent section is not ideal because these two are running and they need energy out. So I'm just standing there because it just was convenient. It wasn't like I had this, like if I stand here, I could really talk to the ref. It wasn't that, okay? But it created this whole scene where he's talking back to me. The game has somewhat stopped. And everyone's like, what is happening right now? And I'm over here going, that heart is sinking feeling, like, what did I just do? Now, remind you, pastor at Fountain Springs Church has now stopped a soccer game to argue a call that really doesn't matter. In the whole scheme of the game, it did not matter. And my mishandling of just that moment, some of it can be just the littlest thing, could have caused someone, maybe myself, be like, this is not the example I probably should be setting. So that's why I say this conversation is pretty important for us, because it could be the littlest thing to biggest thing that Jonah's wrestling with. I'm struggling with these people having being given compassion. So that's why I think I put us here to make us all sit in this moment to where it's like, yeah, we all struggle with this. Now let's learn, how can we handle it in the right way? Let's look at how God handles it. First thing I want you to recognize, he has anger, and I want scriptures. I don't want you just to hear this. Scriptures back this up. Psalm 7:11 says this. God is an honest judge. He is angry with the wicked every day. Every day we sin, every day that frustrates him, creates anger. Romans 1:18. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Now, some of us have probably grown up in church, and that's what we heard. God is just this judge, and he's harsh, and he's angry. But you also got to add the other scriptures that help us understand, yes, he may be angry, but how he handles it, man, it's good. Because look at this in Micah 7. Where is another God like you who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of his special people? You will not stay angry with your people forever because you delight in showing unfailing love. God goes, I do get angry because I'm a just God and I hate sin. But that does not stop me from showing the unfailing love that is needed in a healthy relationship. And so it keeps going. And just to help us understand this, here's the next just point I want you to understand. God doesn't sin in his anger. It leads to compassion and mercy. So look at this in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. He's patient in it. Yes, he gets angry, but there's a patience to it that it's like, wait, I care about humanity. I care about you. And although you're making me angry right now, I will be slow in this, to play the long game in this, because I want you to experience the promise I have for you. That this anger doesn't have to define you. This sin doesn't have to define you. I love you, and I care about you. And then, look at this. God's anger led to his desire for all to be saved and know his love. Romans 5:8, for God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. This is the crazy, mind-boggling point. To where God gets angry, and most of us would go act out of our anger in the midst of let's get revenge or let's justice, those kind of things. And God does care about that. But in his anger, he goes, that has even expanded my compassion. That has expanded my forgiveness. So I'm going to send my son to die for all of sin. So my anger has led now to more compassion and more forgiveness. I don't know if we can say that is what my anger does to me. My anger leads me to have more grace. My anger leads me to have more forgiveness. My anger leads me to those things. because that's what it should do. That's the healthy thing for it to do, but man, does it take a lot of work to get there. Because that's the example God gives. Now, you may go, okay, but how do I do that? Good question. Here's the first thing I think we've got to work on when it comes to our anger so that we can get to that point. One is our anger should be controlled. Ephesians 4, 25 through 27 says this, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Now, you've heard the scripture, and some of us is like, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and you're like, okay, we got to figure it all out right now. Hear me. I think you need to understand the context of this scripture a little bit more. Look at that first part here. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. So Paul is writing this to the church in Ephesus, helping them as Christians. Here's how you should navigate things with each other. Don't give them the false pleasantries. If you see somebody who's messing up, you got to be like, hey, man, what are you doing? Knock it off. He says, tell them the truth. Don't give them the false lie. And some of us are too nice because you're like, oh, I just don't want to create any tension. I don't want to be confrontational. And Paul's like, dude, knock that off. You got to tell the truth. Now, he's not being, don't be a jerk about it. Because now he's going and almost pointing out, you will get frustrated. You will get angry, even with the people who call themselves Christians. Because you're going to be honest with each other, and it's going to hurt. So here's a good question to ask yourself. If a good person, Christian person, were to give you some criticism, would you handle it well? Because that's the point of the scripture. So because you're going to get angry, and in your sin, or in your anger, do not sin. And then the next part of this is don't go to bed angry. And that's the part you got to go, okay, so what does that mean? That means this. Don't let human anger start to take over. There's still maybe moments you're frustrated, but you're like, God, I give this over to you. That is what the scripture is referring to. Because I don't know if you've had this. Like, you get angry at somebody. Can you go solve it that night at, 11:50? Hey, we've got 10 minutes. We better solve this right now. Because I can't go to bed angry, okay? Not how it works in life. But what you should be doing is going, I'm angry right now. Let's talk about this in the morning. But I better be on my knees saying, God, don't let this anger go towards human anger. Let it be a righteous anger. Let me deal with this in the correct way. Let me honor you, and please don't let the devil get a foothold. That should be your response. That's how we control it. We simply go to our knees and say, God, I need your help. I'm angry right now. Some of you might be better. It's like, don't respond back. As soon as you get that criticism, may not be the best to say anything right now. Just listen to it and then pray. Then talk about it after you've prayed or gotten some sleep. Either one, okay? That's how you control this, because I think sometimes we respond too quickly and it's out of control. You don't see God respond that way. Here's the other one. Our anger should lead to forgiveness and a tender heart. So Ephesians 4, 31 through 32, this keeps going. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. This is referring to that human anger that can take us down a road we don't want to go down. Brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. My hope is that as you kneel and pray and say, God, help me with this anger, God starts to transform you and go, I think you can work on forgiveness. I think you can work on having a tender heart in this moment, thinking about what this other person is trying to say or what they're going through, putting yourself in their shoes. When we respond that way, it's powerful. I mean, you think of so many stories where we see forgiveness in the hardest moments. Doesn't it speak to us in profound ways? It's because God is going, I want to show you how to do that. And you can do that. There's something inside us that goes, yes, that's right. How do I do that? So here's a challenging question. Where is your anger leading you? The rest of Jonah finishes in an interesting way because Jonah's watching and just going, okay, how's this going to play out? How is this going to go? And he sits there. But God then brings this heat, and it's very hot, and so he grows this plant and gives him shade, and Jonah's like, this is so awesome, this is great, I love this. And then God sends a worm to eat the plant, and the plant dies, and Jonah's again just whining, like, oh, my life is so terrible, I wish I would just die. And so God is doing all this just to, once again, kind of lead Jonah through something. So this is how it ends. This is how the book of Jonah ends. Some of you are going to be angry right now by how it ends, okay? Just prepare yourself. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted. Even angry enough to die? Yes. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. For all those who love our furry friends, God does care about them, okay? Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? I love what God does here, because it's something we got to recognize in the midst of our anger. Jonah didn't create any of the Ninevites, doesn't create this plant, but yet he's super angry about it. Although he's done nothing to help change the thing, to help bring about compassion, none of it. And that's the point God's making. He's like, hold on here. You're getting so angry about something that you can't control, that you have no power over. Why? And not only that, you're not even putting any work into it. And so some of us, we got to look at that and wrestle with, is that me? Am I getting angry about, think about it, the politics in this world? And sometimes we can't control what God's going to do with that. And it's okay to be angry, but our response out of that matters. Jonah could have responded with, you know what, I'm going to go meet and connect with the Ninevites. I'm going to see why God is doing this miracle. I'm going to get to know these people. That could have been a solution. That could have been a better approach, but he didn't. And that's what God's pointing out. He's like, you just sat here. You quit. You separated yourself. And you just wanted to be a spectator. Jonah, you're a prophet. I want you to learn these things so that you can be the man of God I've called you to be. And recognize he's calling all of us to that. Every single one of you, he's like, I want you to be the man or the woman of God that I believe you can be. Don't let this anger get in the way of that. Billy Graham has this quote that I think says this so well. Suffering is part of the human condition, and it comes to us all. The key is how we react to it, either turning away from God in anger and bitterness or going closer to him in trust and confidence. I hope that we'll be ones that lean into it and allow the growth to happen to where some of these things that you're so angry about become the moments you look back and go, man, God, I'm glad we navigated that. That taught me so much. But it takes surrender. It takes being on your knees and saying, God, I need your help. I want to give you a powerful story of how I've seen this turn even in our own community. For the longest time, there had been a part of our community known as Knollwood that, not great. In 2021, this neighborhood in Rapid City had the highest calls for law enforcement in the city, some 60 to 70 calls per week. On top of that, this area had 1 to 3 violent crimes per month, to include stabbing, shootings, and homicide. It was a dangerous part of town that people wanted to avoid. And on top of that, it was within South Dakota, it was one of the top homicide areas of the whole state. This is Knollwood. This is in our own neighborhood, our community. And it has been going on for a little bit. And so you want to talk about sometimes the anger within our community happening. frustration with the RCPD going like, man, what are we going to do about this? This is so frustrating. We have to do this many calls. The town people around him, the school that is around there, all these things happening, anger, frustration. Some of it people probably just, oh, that's just what it is. Give it up. But here's what happened. What could have been met with anger, fear, and neglect was instead met by compassion and intentional presence by people who cared. The RCPD, property managers, and a few local churches collaborated on a several year-long effort to bring the people of the neighborhood together, build community, trust, and a safe place to live. The reason I know this story is because there's been two incredible ladies, Kelly Oakley and Katie Canaan. They've been part of our outreach team who stepped into this and said, as a church, what can we do to help? RCPD, what can we do to come alongside you? And I remember hearing some of their conversations going, it is so frustrating. It is so angry to see what is happening within this neighborhood. And they'd just be there. I'm boiling right now. I'm seething. I'm red hot angry at what I just saw. But then you see this also, this channel, like, God, help me to channel it in the right area. And they could have. They could have went off to the city council. How dare we allow this happen? RCPD is not doing their job. You could just get into that mode, right? But instead, it was this coming alongside. It's by having conversations where listening was greater than talking, building a safe place where the kids can meet after school to play, and consistent presence of people who cared, the neighborhood began to change. Listen to this. Emergency calls to the police have dropped by 80%. Kids now gather at the clubhouse because one of the main things church and this group did was go, hey, let's build a place for the kids to hang out and have fun and a safe place, because a lot of them would probably have to hide when they start hearing certain noises. When they saw these certain people, they'd be like, we got to go. People were seen, compassion was given, trust was gained, lives have been changed, community buy-in has been an essential part to this success. Here's some just specifics. First Methodist Church runs the food pantry now. MB Renewal is running monthly neighborhood events. Community is talking circles and are taking kind of places. Property manager has worked closely with the churches and RCPD and created this community engagement team. There was one point where Katie looked at for a place where we could step in to fill a gap. That's where our construction volunteers came in to renovate the apartments and to be the clubhouse where the kids hang out with the RCPD. Trust is growing among everyone. People are taking ownership. Church is an incredible story. And the beautiful part is we're taking what we learned here with Knollwood, and now the community is going, let's go do it with these other neighborhoods. Jonah had the opportunity to step into an incredible miracle, but his anger got in the way. What you just saw there is, I love what our church and this RCPD, this community did. It was anger, but we leaned into the miracle. And look what God did. Healed a whole neighborhood. Giving kids and families and that neighborhood hope again. Church, that's what we're called to be. That's what God wants to do. And in the midst of that, teach you how to navigate your anger. So let's do that in a way that honors the Lord. But I understand there's not going to be some beautiful, perfect potion to make that happen. It's simply kneeling before the God and go, God, help me. I need you to transform me. My anger has gotten the best of me way too many times. Help me to give this situation, give this person, give this, just my anger, maybe even about myself, over to you. Because I believe there's a miracle coming. And that's what I'm going to hold on to. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for the story of Jonah. And even though it ends in a way that we're just going, that's it? Like, what happened? What's beautiful, it puts us in this moment right now where we get to sit with you and go, God, where am I in this? Am I like Jonah? Has my anger got the best of me? Is it keeping me from experiencing the miracles that you actually want to have happen? Maybe it's just the miracle of learning how to navigate my anger and not let it define me. Maybe it's seeing something that I never thought could happen, a relationship restored, the circumstance being a miracle in itself. But God, it starts right here where we kneel and say, God, I give my anger over to you. Help me to control it. Help me to go after it. If I need to have conversations, I do that. But I simply kneel before you asking for your help, praying that I'm not getting in the way of what you're doing. Help me to be your servant. And God, I know with everybody listening to this, there are probably so many painful moments in people's lives that are coming to their mind right now. And the anger is right there. God, may there be this incredible Holy Spirit moment where you just say to them, I love you. I've got you. This doesn't have to define you anymore. God, may they begin to experience that in profound ways. And may us as a church, may we learn to let our anger lead us to having more compassion and forgiveness. May it teach us that we can have a heart just like you. And what seems impossible is possible through you. We love you, Lord. We pray all this in your name. Amen.